Kyle Malin, who's the editor of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your thoughts after we watched and tried to take in all that information about the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, that's not what I expected. Was it what you expected?
I didn't know what to expect. I kept hearing from some of the news entities that I was watching, Kyle, that people who try to predict what the court and what specific judges are going to do are usually wrong.
Yeah, well, I think we were all wrong because, you know, I thought that it was going to be a mixed bag of some sort. I thought they'd probably repeal that the personal mandate on the health insurance, but that they'd keep a good amount of it. I really didn't think that they were going to uphold the whole thing like they did, and I think that's why the news outlets kind of screwed up, you know, right off the bat, because you know that seemed to be the less likely option of the three. You know, if they're going to repeal some of it, were they going to repeal all of it, or are they going to keep all of it? And then for Roberts to be the one to be the deciding vote on that, it was another big shocker. I think most folks thought it was going to be Kennedy, and then it ended up not being the case. So, you know, I think here in Michigan, there was, you know, there are a couple of things that we found interesting at MERS. First, for our audience, we were interested in what's going to happen with this health exchange website that's going to be created through the Affordable Care Act, this Travelocity-like web page where people are going to be able to shop for their individual health insurance if you're not getting it from your own work. And, you know, that passed the Senate last year. The governor is a big supporter of it and has wanted to get some legislation through quickly so that Michigan can be in charge of their own health exchange as opposed to the federal government coming in on January 1, 2013 and say, you know what, you're not moving on something, so we're going to do it for you. And the House is kind of mixed on what it's going to do. You know, they think maybe there's something else we can do with the private sector and have the private sector run a website as opposed to Michigan running one. And they don't think we have to act like right now, whereas the governor thinks that, you know, if we're going to do this, we got to do this now. There's some IT involved. And, you know, these projects take time. You know, you just can't flip a switch and boom, there's a website. I mean, this is a pretty big endeavor, and so he wants them to move quickly otherwise. You know, the other thing that I think we got to look at, too, is how the Republicans are playing this. And, you know, the Republicans want to continue the ball on this. They think they have a winning political issue on what they call Obamacare. And they really think that there is some anger out there that the federal government is intruding on them and by mandating that everyone have health insurance, you know, like we're all not mandated to have car insurance or home insurance if you have a home, you know. But, you know, anyway, you know, they think they've got a winning issue here. So they're continuing this narrative if you're watching that, Tony. And the Democrats, meanwhile, are saying, you know, take your ball and go home. This is done. You know, the Supreme Court's rule. There's no reason to fight this battle anymore. And, you know, so we've got kind of conflicting messages there.
I had 8:45 this morning. We'll have Attorney General Bill Schuette on because, as you know, Kyle, Michigan is in litigation in regards to the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, you know, we were a plaintiff in that very suit that the Supreme Court ruled on. And, you know, so Bill Schuette has been in the middle of this. And, you know, Bill Schuette's wearing two hats here, too. You know, he's also the Michigan chair for Mitt Romney's campaign. And, you know, Mitt Romney for president has said on day one, I'm going to repeal Obamacare. And so it kind of presents kind of an interesting question then for Bill Schuette. I mean, how much of these positions are linked for him as far as being the chair for Mitt Romney and trying to do what's best for the state of Michigan? Is fighting this lawsuit really the best for Michigan, or is it best for Bill Schuette and the Republicans to play politics with it?
This has been such a newsy week or two. A couple of items got buried. One was that the state of Court of Appeals ruling on Michigan's five-year welfare limit. That kind of slipped under the radar.
Yeah, a little bit, because we were all looking at the other. But, yeah, that's also been something that we've been waiting for in the courts and will probably be appealed to the Supreme Court for the state. But initially, Advocates for the Poor had a win in the circuit court level when they said that the Department of Human Services had overstepped its authority by banning people from having welfare benefits for more than 5 years based on some federal rules. even though the legislature hadn't weighed in on that at all. And, you know, so the court decided that the DHS was in the right, as opposed to a circuit court ruling on that. And advocates for the poor were very disappointed by that. And it's just because it impacts people who, you know, this isn't one of those situations they claim where folks are at home and eating snacks and watching TV all day and just collecting a check. This is instances where people have chosen to stay home and care for loved ones or other types of hardship situations where, you know, folks are doing something that have put them kind of in a situation where they're, you know, not earning an income, but they're trying to do right by the family and trying to make things work and trying to help people. And they're getting penalized. And they really think it's a hard luck situation. I wouldn't be surprised if this case, if they, you know, get turned down in our state Supreme Court, go on a federal track, because I think maybe they're exhausting the state track first so they can make their case on the federal side, and maybe they've got a better case there. But, again, that's, you know, it's going to take years to flush out.
The State of Appeals also strikes down the ban on stun guns.
Yeah, and that's not a big surprise either. You know, if we're allowed to open carry, you know, in the not open carry, but if we're able to conceal a weapon with a permit here in the state, it would only make sense that we could do these stun guns too. I mean, they're not supposed to be lethal anyway, and so it would stand to reason that that is a more safe option. And I don't think anybody was totally surprised by that, but obviously gun rights advocates or you know folks who want to restrict guns in general were a little disappointed by that as well.
Did you hear about the former Republican spokesperson who called for a call to arms after the ruling yesterday?
Yeah, we did write a little bit about that. Matt Davis, who, you know, he's actually not only Republican Party, but he was also been a spokesman for the Department of Corrections. He's worked with the Senate Republicans on the, on the state level, and Attorney General as well has been a spokesman. He's now a Lansing attorney in town, and he is a correspondent or does some writing for the Michigan View, which is a conservative blog on the Detroit News. And he says that he was kind of putting together some thoughts after the Affordable Care Act decision came down, and his initial postings kind of focused on a bit of an historical view of how Ben Franklin said that if we don't fight for our republic and our democracy, we're going to lose it. And so his initial take, I guess, what he called a working draft he sent to some folks at the Michigan View, which are kind of the same people who work at the Mackinac Center's Capital Confidential, which is a kind of a news product for people on the right wing of the political spectrum. And so his initial takes on that, you know, were exactly what you just said there, a bit of a call to arms. And from just kind of reading it, actually, I'm going to just call it up here on our website, because, you know, it really struck people the wrong way. I mean, because it made it seem like he wanted people to go and we were going to have a revolution or something, because he was calling for, or was asking, is this time for an armed rebellion? Is an armed rebellion now justified? And the national blogs picked that up. The Democrats picked that up. And later in the day, he just said, you know what, I screwed up. I shouldn't have sent something that harsh out, even if I thought it was just a working draft. But it just gave Democrats an opportunity to slam right-wing Republicans and saying, look, if these people are completely out in left field or right field, however you want to say it. And, you know, this is about health care. It's not about politics. Look at the number of people this law is already helping. You know, this is about evening out the situation for folks here in America and making sure everybody's got health care. This isn't about trying to score a political win, and shame on folks for this kind of harsh rhetoric.
In an interesting story on the newsletter in this morning's edition, there is some issues in dealing with agriculture. As you write, Michigan's international shipping is being held back by its heightened regulations surrounding ballast water. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We had a reporter yesterday in Detroit to talk about kind of the state of our ports and the waterways and traffic and how we can get more interstate commerce going with, you know, with our numerous, you know, waterway connections and through ports. And there's a couple of issues that they found. One is that the federal government isn't dredging these ports as much as they could be, and that's become a detriment in trying to export agricultural products out of the state. And then the other thing is, you know, we put in some real restrictive ballast water regulations a few years ago because we were getting invasive species through it, you know, the zebra mussels, and, you know, there was a concern that we're going to get Asian carp because, you know, you have these ships over in, you know, let's say Turkey or somewhere like that, and they take in all this water, and inevitably this water they take in for ballast to make sure the ship doesn't, like, tip over, includes some kind of, you know, fish or species or mussels or something. And then when they get over into the Great Lakes, into the fresh water, they dump all this ballast water, and all these, like, creatures come out with it. And they thrive in the Great Lakes. There is no natural predator for them. So then they expand like wildfire, and, you know, you get zebra mussels all over the bottom of lakes and stuff like that. So they're trying to control that. But, you know, what ends up happening is you put these kind of restrictions on ballast water, and ships then and shipping companies say, hey, you know, this is a lot of stuff. You know, we gotta take our ballast, and we gotta, like, dump our ballast water before we get into the Great Lakes. Now we gotta take on new ballast water, and that creates a new problem. Yeah, this is a pain in the neck. So instead of going to Michigan, we're going to go somewhere else. You know, we'll go to some other ports where this isn't becoming an issue. And so they were talking at this Port Authority meeting in Detroit about how this is an issue, how this is hurting Michigan's competitiveness, because it is a one-of-a-kind regulation. It's something that, you know, we haven't really heard much from the agriculture industry, or the shipping industry in general.
Before we let you go, Kyle, Carl Levin may have someone challenge for his seat.
You know, it's never too early to get your name out there, Tony. I mean, this is 2014, for crying out loud. I mean, this is way in the future. Debbie Stabenow hasn't even, you know, been voted upon. But, yes, Roger Kahn, who's a state senator in charge of the appropriations for the state Senate, is, yeah, floating his name out there as a possibility. A real moderate in all senses, really. And so he would be somebody that is definitely not someone that can be framed as a right-winger, but just kind of throwing his name out there. And, you know, if Carl Levin does run again, I think the Republicans are like, great, we'll take anybody, because Carl Levin is not somebody who draws a big crowd as far as Republican challengers, because he seems to smoke everybody.
All right, Kyle, great day for news yesterday. We appreciate you this morning. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for the time, Tony.